Father in heaven, as we prepare now to hear from this young man, Lieutenant Joshua Prutchek, who has come to share his story, we thank you for him. We thank you for your work of grace in his life that brings him to this day and your work of grace that brings us to this day. And we pray that through what he shares with us, that you would help us, Lord, to tune our ears to you and to hear from you and to be drawn to you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It was last January, a couple showed up in our church for the very first time, Mark and Cindy Prutchek. And we met with them after, Mark and Cindy, and then Sunday after Sunday, they kept coming back, and we could just see their beginning stages of growth in the Lord, and that they were really understanding the message of the gospel and what it meant to turn their lives over to Christ. Part of that understanding was growing because they were in conversation with their son in Edmonton every week, and they showed up here because he was saying, "You got to get to a Baptist church." And I don't know how many times it took them to say that, but they showed up and they came and they were baptized this last July, and their son Joshua came from Edmonton to be here for that day. Lieutenant Joshua Prutchek is posted with Canadian Forces Base Edmonton and will be posted to Iraq in December. He is here with his wife, who is a pastor's daughter of the Baptist Church in Edmonton when he showed up there. So they were married in August. And so congratulations on that. So they're newlyweds, still on their honeymoon, right? I'm still on mine, so you must still be on yours. Joshua, would you come? And God bless you as you share your story of what God has done in your life and how that has unfolded. Such an amazing story. We just knew we had opportunity to have it told. We need it told. God bless you.
My name is Lieutenant Josh Prutchek, as I was introduced. Come from Edmonton. My parents are Mark and Cindy. I'm also here with my wife Jessica, my brother Jeremy, my sister Haley, and my cousin Ronnie. What are you crying already for, Ronnie? Gee, man. So I was asked here to speak about my testimony, to tell you guys a bit about how I came to know God and how God has worked in my life over the past couple of years. And I thought this was just going to be like a little talk. And then I saw the order of service and I saw that I'm the message. So, guess it's a good thing I wrote a sermon. I asked Pastor Smart if he just like wanted the day off and now I'm here, but anyway, I've got a full 20 minutes. I assure you I won't take that long. I thought initially the 20 minutes allotted to me was because Pastor Smart remembers my father's testimony. And he figures I need like a full 20 minutes to say what I need to say. If I'm anything like my old man. But I don't know, I assure you I won't take that long. So I'm here this weekend to celebrate Remembrance Day with my family. Remembrance Day is a very special day to me personally. It was on a Remembrance Day, like a few years ago, that I went to a Remembrance Day ceremony back in Windsor, Ontario, and I spoke to a World War II veteran. He was a Navy guy, which was like, you know, kind of cool. I thought it was cool then. Now I'm in the Army. It's, you know, but he was cool, and he told me some pretty cool stories about being on ship in World War II, and I was inspired. And I was inspired by his bravery and his sacrifice and just like his legacy. Like he was a cool guy. And it really inspired me. And it was on a Remembrance Day that I decided that I wanted to join the Army, that I wanted to join the military. So tomorrow is Remembrance Day proper. And I encourage you guys to go out to a ceremony in a community that's meaningful to you. And just pay your respects to people that you know, in your family, friends, maybe people that you've known that have passed away, or currently serving people as well. We really are blessed in Canada. And it's easy to forget that. It's easy to become complacent with just the hustle and bustle of life. And I think Remembrance Day, of all days throughout the year, is the day to take that moment of silence and just reflect on, man, like, we didn't do anything really to earn our peace. Like, we didn't really do, if you haven't served in the military or you didn't sacrifice in one of the wars, like, you didn't really do anything to earn your peace and your tranquility that we get to enjoy. In the same way that we didn't really earn God's grace. We didn't, right? There's nothing that we can do as Christians that has earned our way into heaven, that's earned God's love for us, right? That's God giving that to us, right? And that's a big thing that I learned over the past couple of years as I became a Christian. But before that, I did grow up in the Catholic Church. And like a lot of Catholic families that I grew up with, I didn't really understand anything about my faith. My Catholic roots, my Catholicism, it was more of like a heritage, right? Like I was as much Catholic as I was Canadian or male or white. Like it was just something that I was born into. It wasn't something that I lived out each day, okay? And I was a kid and I didn't really know much. We didn't talk about God in the home, which was another thing that, you know, just didn't help me understand. But it was religion and it was rules and dogma and it was confusion that kind of made me turn away from that when I was a teenager, right? So I was a teenager and I'm sure you guys remember being teenagers. It wasn't that long ago. And, you know, you're confused. You have a lot of questions about life. You have a lot of questions about your purpose. And what's the point of all of this? And it was those questions and my confusion with Catholicism and the rules that kind of led me away. It wasn't a hatred for God, because I knew God was there. I knew God existed. I knew God existed somewhere. I didn't really know him. But it was the confusion with the church that kind of turned me away. So from there, I go through high school, I go through college, living a pretty sinful life. And it was pretty awesome. Like, I thought it was, right? I thought college was great. I could do what I wanted. I didn't have rules. There was no God to tell me that I was living sinfully. There was no guilt, right? I could do what I want. I could be a young 20-something-year-old teenager, you know, and just live the college lifestyle. But as fun as I thought it was, at the time, I realized slowly that I was spiritually dead. Like, I was empty. Yeah, it's not all it's cut out to be. Who here has grown up in the church? Like, you were born in the church and you were raised in the church. You always knew God. A fair bit of people. Who here has come to know Jesus later in life? Like myself. Fewer people. Okay. So, I have specific messages for each of you, each of you two groups. I'll get to that later. But what I want to outline is that to not know God for a good chunk of your life, in those formative years especially, as a young man, and in those formative years, to not know God, it had like pretty drastic effects on me as I became a man, as I tried to understand what my role was in the world. And finally, I don't really know what happened exactly. I just started to feel very discontent, very depressed with my life and how it was working out. I was dating this girl who was surely going to lead me to hell. Like, this girl was about as far from a Christian girl as you could imagine. And I became very depressed with that relationship in my life. And I left her, and I was on my own all of a sudden, and I had to go to Edmonton because I was getting posted out there. So I'm here in Barrie, I'm driving to Edmonton, and I'm alone, I'm single, I don't really have a lot of friends because I'm going to this new city that I don't know anybody. So I'm driving by myself across the United States. I'm going through the States, Detroit, Chicago, all the way to Edmonton. And when you're driving across a country, you have a lot of time to think and you have a lot of time to reflect. And for some reason, in St. Paul, Minnesota, there's this cathedral there, the Cathedral of St. Paul, if anyone's heard of it or been there. Really beautiful place, like a super beautiful structure. And I always, you know, my Catholic roots probably are guilty, but I've always had an appreciation for those great big, beautiful buildings, right? I've always had an appreciation for the aesthetic, and the holiness surrounded in those buildings. So I was going through St. Paul, and I felt really drawn to this cathedral. Like, I really wanted to go and check it out. Partly because I just thought it was really cool looking, but I also just felt like I need to go there. Like, I need to go there today. So I walk into this place. It's massive. And I'm the only one there. Like, it's this massive building, and it's just me. And it's super intimidating. I walk up to the front, and I'm looking at, like, this great big altar and all these ornate carvings. And I got down on my knees and I prayed. And I prayed for the first time in, like, years. And I prayed to Jesus because I knew Jesus when I was a boy. I didn't really know him well, but I knew that he was there. So I prayed to Jesus and I said, God, I hear you calling me. I don't know what you want me to do, but I'm here. I've showed up. I'm here. And I have no idea if you want me to live my life differently or what I'm supposed to do, but I'm here to do what you want. And I'm ready. And that was it. That was all I said. Super simple prayer that I didn't realize would change the rest of my life from that point on. Because it was that prayer of acceptance when I said, God, I'm ready. I'm ready to do what you want. I didn't know it was happening, but I gave my life to God in that moment. But I didn't really know that that was what was happening. God's hand was out. Jesus' hand was out there. And I grabbed it and gave my life to him. And then I show up in Edmonton, a super novice, like, beginner Christian. Like, I don't know how to be a Christian yet as a young adult. Like, I knew as a kid to, like, kneel and stand and sing and look cute, but I didn't know how to be, like, an actual, like, adult, mature Christian. So I show up to work, and there's the padre. In the military, we call them padres. They're chaplains or pastors. And this guy, this chaplain, I go up to him, and I'm trying to ask him what his denomination is. And he's like, if you're trying to ask me what my flavor of ice cream is, my credentials belong to the Baptist Church. And I was like, well, that's not a very good answer. Like, I want to know what you believe, man. Like, what do you believe? He's like, man, I'm a Baptist. You should come to my church. I said, I don't know, man. I'm Catholic. Like, it's not really my, I don't really know the Baptist church. I don't even know what you guys believe. Like, what do you guys do over there? He said, no. Give it a chance. Come out. And at this point, I was searching, right? I was searching for God. I heard God call me. I knew that he wants to do something different in my life. He wants to do something different. That's the thing. It's not the same. He wants to change me. God wants to change the way I live. He wants to change who I am. He wants to change what I do. And here's this guy asking me to go to his church to do something different. So I go, okay, I'm going to give this a shot. I show up to the church. Demographics similar to this. Some young people, some kids. But I sat in a section that was like near the back there. I sat like with like the senior, more senior people in the congregation. And I was just looking around like, okay, this is it, you know. I was like, no, I'm not here. I'm not here to make friends. I'm not here. I'm just here to, you know, learn about my faith. It's okay if they're all old. It's okay. That's not the point. So I was just trying to, you know, stay focused. And so I meet the pastor. I meet the head pastor. Really nice guy. Find out he's got a daughter. I'm like, no, don't think about that. Here for God. And then I met her. Then I married her. No, it wasn't that simple. But we've had a pretty interesting journey for the past year and a half, leading up to marriage, dating and courtship and the rest of it was interesting. But like going to that church and meeting my wife Jessica and meeting her family and being accepted in that church, that was life changing as well. So while I was finding God, while I was trying to learn about who God was, he gave me this amazing woman by no, like, merit of mine, like, by nothing that I did to, like, deserve this amazing wife. He just gives me this amazing girl. And I learn with her. I learn with her family about God, about who he is. And it's been the greatest blessing of my life is my wife, and learning about who God is with her. That's kind of the how I became a Christian. But what I want to drive home here, like my, I have to, I guess it's a sermon, so I have to have a point. You guys do like coffee break or something at this church? Maybe later. So what I want you guys to understand from this is something I did not want to do is come here and tell you how great I am and like how I became a Christian and it was all me and I did it and I like, you know, saved myself from my sin. I'm so glad that the reading this morning was from Ephesians and how God saved me. It was nothing I did to deserve it. There was no merit of mine. I didn't save myself. I didn't pull myself up by my bootstraps and, you know, just try harder. God reached down into my sad, empty, broken life and saved me. Okay? That's important for you guys to know because God chose me. God hunted me down, called me, wooed me into that church in St. Paul when I was like thinking, oh yeah, I'm going to go into this church and pray. And here I am thinking that it's all my idea, but no, God is working. God is working behind the scenes, wooing me, right? Maybe some of you have been wooed by God. Some of you, when I asked earlier, who have grown up in the church and have always known God, you guys are blessed. you guys are very blessed because you've had a life that I haven't lived. You guys have always had God in your house, in your home. You talked about God. You sang about God. You learned. God was always part of you as a kid growing up. He was always there for you in those tough times. Not that you, you know, didn't stumble in your faith. Everybody does, but you're very blessed to know God throughout your whole lives. But for those of you like me who did not know God and you lived a life of sin, well, we all live lives of sin. Let me get that straight. But for those of you who are spiritually dead and didn't know God, like I was, to come to know him later, you appreciate, I think you people who have come to know God later in life have a special blessing. Because you lived that life, you know what it's like to be dead, you know what it's like to not have God, and now you know what it's like to have him, and you can never go back to that. You can't. Right? You can't. It's not like you never knew. There's like this uncertainty. You wonder what it would have been like if you never knew God. No, you know what it was like without God. You know it sucked. You know you were dead. You know you were a wreck. You know you were nothing. And now you know what it's like to have him, and so you can't go back. That is special. So if you're one of those people, consider yourself especially blessed to know God later in life. So my message here for you people, because I think there's three groups of people in the congregation today. There's those who I mentioned who have always grown up with God. There's those of you who knew God later and you were converted later. And then there's people who don't know God. There's people, some of you in the congregation that don't know God today. You don't know who he is. You don't know what he wants. You don't know what he wants to do with your life. So I have a message for each of you, each group. So for those of you who have always known God, you've grown up in the church, you grew up knowing him, praying, your parents taught you in the house. My message for you is never, this is Remembrance Day, okay? We're doing a Remembrance Day thing. Never forget that ultimate sacrifice that was made for you. If you've been a Christian for like 70 years, sorry, 50 years, 40, whatever. I don't want to, numbers doesn't matter. If you've been a Christian your whole life, you're sitting here, you've known God for decades and decades. I'm sorry, I'm trying to not make this like an age thing. You've known God. Are you like comfortable? Are you complacent? Do you look at God as like, yeah, I'm saved. I've been saved for like 50 years. Or yeah, I know God. I grew up in the church. God, of course I know God. Of course he saves me. I don't really have to worry. You show up every Sunday to church. You go through the motions. God is just like as much a part of your life as my Catholicism was a part of my life when I was a kid. It was just always there, right? It's just something that I took for granted. Do not become that Christian. Do not constantly let God wow you. Constantly let him amaze you by remembering the cross, by not forgetting that ultimate sacrifice. Because when I came to become a Christian, when I heard God calling me, I still remember I was on my knees, I was crying, because I could not believe that the creator of the universe, like, you know, we say God. God's really easy to say. It's one syllable, God. But this is the Lord of the universe who created planets and galaxies that we will never know about or see, who has knowledge and wisdom beyond our tiny brains can comprehend, who can see thousands of years into the future, who can see all of eternity at once, the creator of laws of physics, the creator of nature. Everything you know and don't know is from a creator. And that guy wants to be your dad. Wow. You should be on your knees. As a kid. Like a child that wants to be like his dad. You know, like when your dad's shaving in the mirror and you're next to him shaving. Or he's like pushing the lawnmower and you're pushing the little lawnmower, like little bubbles are coming out. You want to be like your dad. Everyone grows up differently. Everyone has a different family dynamic. Maybe some of you didn't have a strong father. Maybe some of you didn't have a good father. Maybe some of you didn't have a father. Maybe some of you had great fathers. Regardless of that, you all have a father. You have a heavenly father who wants to be your father and wants you to be his son or his daughter. So I don't care if you've always known God and you've grown up in the church and you're saved and you're comfortable. That's your heavenly father who saves you, not because you're a good person, but because of his grace. I've heard this so many times talking to my friends, my dear friends in the military who are non-Christians. And we're talking about heaven, we're talking about hell. And they say, oh no man, I'm going to heaven. For sure. I'm going to heaven. I say, well why man? You don't believe in Jesus? You don't believe in God? Like why, what do you mean you're going to heaven? Why do you say that? So well, I'm a good person man. Like I don't kill anybody. I've never killed anybody. I'm not a rapist. I care about the environment. I'm funny. I have good jokes. Yeah, I'm going to heaven man. For sure. I'm a good friend. And I go, okay, what was the cross for then? If you can get to heaven on your own goodness by being a good dude, some of you might refer to that as a whippersnapper, but I'm not sure. A dude. I say dude, you say whippersnapper. You can't just go there to heaven because you're a good person. No one is righteous, not one. So what was the cross for? Why did Jesus cry out to his father in the Garden of Olives and say, Father, if there's any other way, take this cup from me, but not my will be done, but yours. If there was any other way to the Father, if there's any other way to God, why was the cross necessary? The cross was the only way. So no matter how good you think you are, it's not because you're a good person that you're going to heaven. It's because God willed it. His grace. And this is what I tell my non-Christian friends. It's not about being a good person. It's about God's grace. So for those people who've always known God, you've grown up in the church, it is because of God's grace in your lives that he has willed you and wooed you to himself. Okay, so never forget that ultimate sacrifice. Remember, on this Remembrance Day, that ultimate sacrifice for you that you did not deserve, that you did not earn. And like, fall to your knees. Fall to your knees and acknowledge the Father and his love. That's my message to you. For the people that have come to know God later in life, like myself, for the people that have been living a life of sin, a life of recklessness, and now you're in the kingdom, now you're in the community, you're in the family of God, now you know him, my message to you people, don't ever lose that fire that you initially had when you met God. In the same way that when I met my wife, there was those sparks, those fireworks up front, right? You guys remember those days? Of course. You probably still have those feelings for your spouse, right? I hope. Don't let your relationship with God waver. You've been blessed by knowing what it's like without him. Now you know him. Don't let that fire go out. Keep that relationship fresh. Keep loving God. Don't let God say, when you go to heaven and when God meets you and judges us, don't let Jesus' words to you be, man, you were doing so well. You were doing so well when you first loved me. What happened? You became complacent. I miss you. I miss 20-year-old you. I miss 30-year-old you. When you loved me and you were on fire, I was the best thing in your life. And then you forgot about me. Don't let that be God's words to you when you meet him. Keep that fire alive. And lastly, my message to anyone who does not know God, and to anyone who is lost and confused, my message is simply that God wants to love you. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to be your dad. And show me another religion, show me another faith in the world where the creator of all things wants relationship with you, wants you to be his son or daughter, wants to save you from sadness, from sin. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your fatherhood, for loving us as your children, despite our wrongdoings, despite our sin, despite the ways we constantly turn against you. You love us in the same way that a parent loves a newborn baby. A newborn baby that does nothing but keep you up at night and messes its diaper and has done nothing, has literally done nothing to deserve love. But a parent loves it. No matter what, a parent will die for that baby just because it's theirs. That's the way you love us, God. That's what you did when you sent your son to die and make the ultimate sacrifice for our peace and for our freedom. Thank you so much for your relationship, for your fatherhood, for the sacrifice of your son Jesus on the cross. My prayer is that we would remember on this Remembrance Day the men and women in this country who have given their lives to service as you, Lord, call us to serve as Christians, to serve others, to serve our nation, to serve you. May we remember those that have gone before us, given their lives in service, so that we may sit here today and worship you in peace and freedom. God, my prayer today for this congregation is that you would be alive, you would be present, and you would be new. That your love would be made new in these people's hearts. That for the people that have forgotten about you, where you've become a mere aspect of our lives, may you come to the forefront of our beings and become the most important thing, the reason for our existence. And for those, God, who do not know you, I pray that you would woo them. I pray that you would hunt them down, and you would woo them and bring them into your kingdom. And that the people that do not know you, God, would know your fatherly love, would know your unconditional and undying love. And that tomorrow, as we celebrate Remembrance Day, we not only remember the sons and daughters of our nation that have gone, but that we remember the greatest sacrifice, the greatest show of love that there ever was, which was Jesus Christ, your Son, dying on the cross. That we will remember the reason we exist, the reason we love, the reason we have a relationship, the reason we are saved is not because of our goodness, because of that sacrifice on the cross that we would never forget. We pray these things in your Son's beautiful name. Amen.
Wow. Aren't you glad he didn't come with the sermon prepared? Here's God's promise. If you seek me, you will find me. That's God's promise. Joshua and Jessica, I would like you, when we're exiting, if you would just join me at the door so our congregation can greet you as they are leaving.